And I'm Paul to everyone in this building apart from Nate, to whom I'm daddy. I never saw Nate being born. I knew I was going to cry, didn't I? I never saw Nate being born because things had got a bit tense in there, and I was on my hands and knees praying. I was relaxed until the... is it obstetrician? Is that a baby doctor? Thank you for helping me. I was relaxed. She was really friendly and nice until she got serious. She was still friendly and nice, but when she got serious, I got worried. So I was on my hands and knees praying, and then it was a... the loveliest cry I've ever heard. And then, obviously, my life changed. That's why I'm crying now. Because it was so good before. the room was absolutely packed. There was a load of training doctors there as well. And so we had obstetrician and junior obstetrician. A room full of junior doctors. Obviously, the nurses and midwives. 10 minutes later, they'd all gone, apart from one midwife whose name was Faye. And the boy had been weighed, measured, and found to be lovely. Was finally... yeah, I thought that was a good joke as well. Thank you. Do you know what? Thank you. Working on that all week. Finally, 10 minutes after he was born, he was put into Jen's arms. And one of the greatest privileges of my life, I was able to sit and put my hand on Nate's head, and I blessed him. In God's name, I blessed him. Sorry, my mum's sitting at that. And I knew I'd set her off and she'd make me even worse. In God's name, I blessed him. And very few of the blessings that I gave him, none of the blessings are actually in my power to give. They're all in God's power to provide. The only one really that I have any power to affect, and still only by God's grace, is that Nate grows up in a house where he knows he's loved and wanted and cared for. But most of the things I blessed over Nate's life are only in God's power to give. That Nate knows more joy than sorrow. That he receives Jen and my strengths, but not our weaknesses. And most importantly, that in God's good timing, one day, Nate comes to know and worship the same Heavenly Father as I, as Jen and I. Emotional bit over. Right. That's why I bought a hanky. Today's Bible passage is about blessing. It's a man asking God to bless his two adopted sons. So if you want to grab a Bible behind you and turn to Genesis 48, which is on page 51. So it's Genesis 48 on page 51. I'm going to read verses 1 to 20. I'm not going to read verse 7 because the speaker goes off on a bit of a tangent for one verse. So we're nearing the end of our series on the life of Joseph. But actually, in this story today, Joseph's really a bit part player. The focus is on his dad, Jacob. Now, Jacob's also called Israel in this story, which is a bit confusing, unless you know it, but now you do. So the focus is on him, Jacob. And Jacob is the grandson of Abraham, the son of Isaac. And the focus is also on Joseph's two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. So let's read this story now. Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength and sat up on the bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and there he blessed me and said, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples. And after this, I give you this land as an everlasting possession for your to your descendants after you. Now then, your two sons, born to you in Egypt before I came to you here, will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine." Reuben and Simeon were his eldest two sons. "Any child born to you after them will be yours. In the territory they inherit, they will be reckoned under the names of their brothers." And so to verse 8. "When Israel saw the sons of Joseph, he asked, 'Who are these?' 'They are the sons God has given me here,' Joseph said to his father. Then Israel said, 'Bring them to me so that I may bless them.' now. Israel's eyes were failing because of old age, and he could hardly see. So Joseph brought his sons close to him, and his father kissed them and embraced them. Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face again, and now God has allowed me to see your children too." Then Joseph removed them from Israel's knees and bowed down with his face to the ground. And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand, and brought them close to him. But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger. And, crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, "May the God before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and may they increase greatly on the earth." When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to him, "No, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But his father refused and said, "I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations." He blessed them that day and said, In your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." So he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Nearing the end of his life, Jacob adopts Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who will get a blessing equal to that of his natural sons. As mentioned in the story, decades before, God had made Jacob a promise at a place called Luz, which is also known, well known, as Bethel. We read of that in Genesis 28, verses 13 to 15. "The Lord said, 'I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are living. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you." God is continuing to honour the covenant promise he had made with Abraham, his grandfather. God would bless Jacob and his descendants. But Ephraim and Manasseh were not like the other descendants of Abraham. They hadn't been born in the promised land in Canaan. In fact, they were the sons of an Egyptian woman. Raised in wealth, they'd been raised in Egyptian palace life. They'd never seen Canaan, they'd never seen the promised land. Unlike the natural sons of Jacob, Ephraim and Manasseh had never seen the promised land, and yet Jacob's blessing brought them into and made them a part of the promise that God had made Jacob. Whilst they never saw the promised land, they would be a part of the promise. God's covenant with Abraham and his promise to Jacob that they would be blessed, increase and inherit Canaan. So what was Jacob's blessing? We see it in verse 16, that God may bless these boys. God certainly did. That they may be called by Jacob's name. So to be included in God's promise to Jacob, they definitely were. And that they may increase on the earth. And goodness, they most certainly did. Jacob's blessing is also prophetic in prophesying Ephraim's strength relative to that of his brother to become dominant and one of the leading tribes in Israel. As the elder son, traditionally, Manasseh would have expected to have received the greater blessing. But Jacob prophesies that Ephraim will be the greater of the two. We know little of the rest of Ephraim and Manasseh's lives, apart from in the last chapter of Genesis that before he dies, Joseph sees Ephraim's great-grandchildren born. But Jacob's prophecy does come to fruition because Ephraim's tribe was greater than that of his brothers. In fact, it was one of the greatest tribes of all the 12 tribes of Israel. For example, Joshua, that great leader of Israel, was from the tribe of Ephraim. And after Israel and Judah separated, after the death of Solomon, Ephraim was one of the leading tribes of the separate kingdom. In fact, the first king, I'm sure you all know the first king of Israel being Rehoboam, who, no one else seems to. The first king of Israel, Rehoboam, was from the tribe of Ephraim. And actually, most of the capitals after Israel had separated from Judah and went on the rather tragic, sorry way of disobeying God for several hundred years before it was wiped out by Assyria, the capitals of the independent kingdom were in Ephraim's land, in Shechem and Samaria. However, what does this story, some 4,000 years old, have for us in East London today? Well, it got me thinking, what is biblical blessing? And I'm not talking about where God directly blesses people, like with his covenant with Abraham or with Jacob at Bethel, but rather when a Christian blesses another person in God's name, as I did with Nate at his birth, what is blessing? And should we, as followers of Jesus Christ, be doing more of it? Today's story is from the Old Testament, but I want to look at some New Testament examples, that of Jesus and the apostles. Probably the most famous story of Jesus' blessing is of all the little children. Excuse me. In Mark chapter 10. Children were culturally disregarded at the time. They weren't seen as being important. And some parents brought their children to Jesus for him to bless them. And the disciples weren't too happy, and he was telling the parents to go away. Mark 10 verse 16 tells us, Jesus actually rebuked them. And then Jesus took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them and blessed them. We've got no record of what Jesus said, the words Jesus used when he blessed the children. But surely it would be that they come to know and experience the kingdom of God for themselves. Equally, Jesus blessed the disciples at the ascension when he returned to heaven a month after his resurrection. We read of this in Luke 24. When Jesus had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. It doesn't just say that Jesus prayed for them, it says Jesus blessed them. We can also see this in the epistles, the letters that the apostles wrote to the church. We know that the apostles prayed for the churches. In Ephesians, Paul writes repeatedly, several times, that he's praying for the church. But also, through the book, he constantly blesses them again and again. In fact, we're going to look at some New Testament blessings in a bit. So if the patriarchs, that's Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, blessed, if Jesus blessed, and if the apostles blessed, surely we should be doing it too. So what is biblical blessing? The Bible, written in Hebrew and Greek, Hebrew for the Old Testament, Greek for the New, uses four words that we translate as blessing. Two Hebrew ones in the Old Testament, two Greek ones in the New. You're going to love this, but you're going to be telling all these people at work this tomorrow. Hey, went to church yesterday. We learned a bit of Hebrew and Greek. In the Old Testament, it uses two Hebrew words, barak, which means to praise, congratulate, or salute. When we were singing the songs earlier, bless God, that's the barak word there, to praise, congratulate, or salute. And it also uses the word esher. And esher is often, as well as translated as blessing, is translated as happiness. But if it is happiness, it's not happiness that sort of we feel day to day of, oh, I feel happy, West Ham have won, as opposed to more frequently, West Ham haven't. But it's a state of joy, because we know and are known by God. Barak is a state of joy that we feel because we know God and because God knows us. There are two words in Greek in the New Testament which are also translated as blessing. Makarios is basically esher. So it's that state that a believer in Christ feels, who is satisfied and secure, despite the fact that life may be tough, because of the indwelling completeness of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit within them. It also uses the word eujolio, is the last word for blessing, that's translated as blessing in the New Testament. And it means celebrated with praises. It's where our word eulogy comes from, that we use at funerals. And it also means to be favoured by God. I imagine that it was an esher makarios blessing that Jesus poured out on the children and on the disciples at the when he returned to heaven, that they would see an outpouring of Holy Spirit-filled joy because they know God and are known by God. So, statements of blessing are a wish for God to restore or pour his favour on others, or a declaration of God's inherent goodness. A perfect example of blessing is the one that God instructed Moses to give in the book of Numbers, chapter 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron and his sons to bless the people of Israel with this special blessing. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace." Blessing is personal. Blessing isn't selfish. You can't bless yourself. You can only bless others. When I was going through this, trying to work out what I was going to say, what was I pray God was giving me to say today, Jen gave me a book to read called Rediscovering the Ministry of Blessing by Russ Parker. And this is a quote from it. "Blessing does not consist merely of nice words and hopeful aspirations." The hopeful aspirations being, this is what I hope, this is what I want for you. So blessing does not consist merely of nice words and hopeful aspirations, but brings with it the expectation that God is changing things in our lives. So when we bless, we do it with full faith, in full faith, expecting God to move. But this is not a prosperity gospel. Our greatness lies not in our possessions, but in being possessed by God. This is also from the Ministry of Blessings book. A blessing must comply with the known will and purposes of God. Blessings are a declaration of the will of God and have no power or effect if separated from that truth. So, when Nate was born, When Nate was born, I said, "Son, in the name of Jesus, I bless you with..." And with tears of joy streaming down my face then, more so than I have done now, I prayed over his life that he would know joy, that he would know wisdom, and most importantly, that he would get a personal relationship with God as an eternal father. So were my words over Nate a true Holy Spirit-inspired blessing, or was it just a hopeful aspiration? Was it just what any dad, or any God-fearing dad, would want for their boy? I guess in truth, we'll only find out over time. Obviously, I truly pray it's a spirit-inspired one. Jacob blessed in faith, even though he wouldn't live to see the fruit of his blessing. But Jacob's blessing did come to pass. Ephraim and Manasseh most definitely prospered because Jacob blessed in accordance with God's will. So, as believers in Christ, when we bless others in God's name, it shouldn't be hopeful aspirations for the person, but a declaration of expectation. If it doesn't come to fruition, it doesn't come to pass, it wasn't a true Holy Spirit-inspired blessing. Maybe it was just a hopeful aspiration, which in truth is no bad thing. But because, as already stated, a true blessing must submit with what God wants. If a true blessing must be, you must be blessing in accordance. I'm going to repeat myself with the same words again. They were perfectly fine the first time, weren't they? Followers of Jesus Christ should pronounce blessings on others. Why? Well, as John wrote in his first letter, 1 John, "The Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." The same Holy Spirit who lived in the apostles, those apostles who prayed blessings on the New Testament church, resides in us believers here too. So, what should we bless? Well, some examples of blessings, verses from the New Testament. I think the most important one is in Ephesians chapter 3, "To know Christ, that he may dwell in your hearts through faith as Lord and Saviour." The one that has really been sort of speaking to me recently is the one from Philippians 4, "To know the joy of our salvation." You know, if we have God living inside of us, I do wonder how so many of us are so joyless so much of the time. Also from Philippians 4, which I suppose is the ties in to have joy, "Do not be anxious." To be free from anxiety. From Romans 15, that we know peace. From Ephesians chapter 1, that we know God's wisdom and that we know God better. From 1 Thessalonians 3, to love more. From 1 Peter chapter 5, to persevere through suffering. Doing this kind of thing isn't natural for me. I seem to bang on about it every single time I speak. I grew up in a relatively... conservative, no, that's not the right word, but what is the right word? We didn't do things like that. Ah! You know what I mean? What's that? Madness, yeah. You know what I mean? Such things that we're about to do soon do not come natural or easy for me. The time he was born, obviously it was a special time, but I traditionally I don't find it easy. I'm very conservative in my faith, and I don't find it easy to be charismatic. I think is the wrong term. If anyone thinks of a better word in the next 3 seconds, you're welcome to shout it out. I'm reserved. There we are. Thank you. Conservative with a small C. Yeah. Doing this is very much me out of my comfort zone. It's not easy. I don't find it natural. And yet, I know it's important, and I know it's something I should be doing more. I don't like trying new things, there's always that fear of failure. But equally, as you know, my mum said to me, if you don't try, great. But if you don't try, you're not going to fail, but nor will you ever succeed. So in this sermon, you know, planning it, it's been very much God speaking to me first and foremost. This is one of those times where, originally I was supposed to have spoken last week, Tim was supposed to do today, and we swapped around, because I was working last week. And as soon as I read the passage, I don't know if, I'm sure if some of you have preached, you know it, but I'm sure if you've never not preached, you'd have probably felt something at the same time, where God just injects that word that you need to say right at that point. You ever had that? Yeah? This was one of those times reading the passage the first time, you know, it's my heart thumping, thinking, yeah, we've got to have something practical here. This can't simply be a time where you just sit and look like you're having the most fun you've had in your lives. We need a practical element. I couldn't just stand here and talk for 20 minutes about blessing. We need to proactively bless. So this is what's going to happen now. We're going to have one last song, and then we're going to have 5 or 10 minutes where we're going to stand up and walk around and bless one another. I've printed out a load of blessing verses from the New Testament, which people can use as a framework if you want to have a look and see what New Testament blessings are like. If you want to use them as a framework. If anyone doesn't yet know Jesus, you are very, very, very welcome to stay. And we will pray the Esher Makarios blessing over your life, that God will switch on the lights for you and that you will get to know this joy because you are known. You know and you are known by God. If you don't want to take part, absolutely no problem. Tea or coffee will be served at the normal time. And you're welcome to go and mill about in the foyer. That's what we're going to do after one last song. So, in the name of Jesus, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord's face radiate with joy because you know him and he knows you. May he be gracious to you. May he show you his favour. And may we please, in God's name, know his peace. Cheers.